we're doing Visual Basic, the first thing when you come in here, and I didn't pay attention to my own thing, is you should be loading up Visual Basic. And I should have listened to myself and done that when I finished my last class. Pardon me? Visual Basic 2012, is that what you're asking? So you're opening up Visual Basic 2012. Okay. I'm trying to think if there's anybody that wasn't here. You weren't here last time in the back row. I think the rest of you were all here. Okay, so now I can close the start page. Okay. And I'm going to open the file that we started looking at last time, which was called First Math or something like that. Didn't finish looking at that last time. If you get this, and most of you do not apparently get this, does anybody but me get this message box that comes up? Most people in the Visual Basic class say they don't get it. For some reason, when they did my computer, I get that. You just click OK and don't bother to read it. Okay, so again, what I've got here is I've got the toolbar, I've got the Solution Explorer, and I've got the project properties, and I need to get the form. And the little diamond is indicating the stuff there. If I click on it, it will open the form. Okay, and there it is underneath. But if I just double-click on it, it opens the form. Okay. So on this particular one, as I said, I have got a lot of code in here. Okay. And what I do is if you click on a particular button, it comes up and lets you write the code. And so for the first four, I'm just, the only big difference is, if I want to divide, I've got a divide sign. If I want to multiply, I've got an asterisk, subtract. And then with the add, I have the C int, because it is the problem of concatenate versus add. And I can have C int if it's an integer, or I can have C decimal, or C double for decimals. And it's probably a C single too, but I use those. So those are the ones that I can put there, and I have to convert when I add so that it knows that I don't want to concatenate. Okay, so I've got to put the C integer or the C decimal or the C double in front of those when I'm doing the add so that it won't concatenate. Okay. Then the other thing that I had down here is I started doing an if statement. And this first if statement is simply asking if the first number you enter is equal to the second number. So I've got two boxes, and I'm comparing what's in those two boxes. And if they match, then I'm putting out the word same. Otherwise, I'm putting out the word different. Okay, so I've basically got a decision here, and I am putting out the word same or I am putting out the word different. But I have just a single decision that I'm making here. Okay, I'm making one decision. I'm saying, is the first equal to the second? Okay, is the first equal to the second? So that's my decision. Now, if I go and run this, I'm going to run this, but I'm going to run it with the code still open so that I can kind of peek at the code while I'm running it. And I like to do this when I'm testing. So I actually open it when the code is sitting there, because then I can kind of see it, see the code while I'm testing. Okay, if I go back to looking at the form, then I see the form twice, the original version and the executing version. So I'm going to put in first number as 5, second number as 5, and I'm hitting question 1, and so it's saying same. Because what I put into the first text box is what the same as what I put into the second text box. So this box was called text first, and this box was called text second. Okay, so when I set up these boxes, I called that text first and that text second. And you can see in the calculation, I said text first divided by text second. Okay. Now you always put the dot text on here because the dot text is saying use the text property. All those properties that we saw listed, the one I want to check is what was written in there. And in some languages they have you do, we use the word value. Here they have you use the word text. So da-da dot text means the text that's written in the box. So text first dot text means the text that was put in the box, that the user entered in the box. So I'm looking to see if what the user entered in the first box is equal to what the user entered in the second box. If they're not, then I'm going to see different. So there's the same. And now if I put a 6 here, then I hit question 1, I'm seeing the word different. Okay, because 5 and 6 are not the same. Okay. So, on the next one that I have, I'm asking about a greater than or less than. Okay. And I'm using an embedded if statement. And again, remember, I'm not using curly braces in this language. This is much more like pseudocode, where I write the word else, just like I did in the other, but then I end the whole thing with an end if. So it knows that everything between the if and the else is what I want to do if it's true. And I can have 20 statements in there. And it knows that's what I want to do if it's true. And everything between the else and the end if is what I want to do if it's false. There has to be something that tells you that the if statement is done. So that if I wanted to put another thing down below here, it wouldn't think it was part of the else. In JavaScript, it's a curly brace that closes it down. In Visual Basic, it's an end if that closes it and tells it the if is all done. Okay, so I need to have the end if. Okay, so now I'm going to hit question 2, and I'm going to leave these same numbers here, and it is saying first is less than second. Okay, so I am getting this statement down here, first is less than second. So the questions I'm asking here are, I'm asking the first one, I'm saying, is the first number greater than the second? Notice I said greater than the second. If it is greater then I am saying a message that says greater. Otherwise, I'm going to ask, okay, is it less? Is the first number less than the second? And if it is, I'm putting out a message that has the word less in it. And otherwise, I'm putting out a message that has the word equal in it. Okay. So I'm asking the three questions there. And notice how it does that. Okay, I said, if it's true, well, I said, if it's greater than, do this. Else, the else is the no. Ask the next question. If it's less than, do this. Else, do that. Now notice I have two ifs, so I need two and ifs. I have to end them both. And if you draw a flowchart, these circles that you write at the bottom basically are the end ifs. Okay? And so I have two end ifs. I'm ending the if. Let's see if I can. Oh, it actually went away by itself. So the first end if is ending. Okay, good. And I really did adjust this, I thought. But the first end if is ending the embedded if, and the second end if is ending the initial if. Now, the nice thing about Visual Basic is it knows you should indent, and so it indents for you. Okay? So it takes care of the indenting for you, and it does it right. Okay? So it... There are times when Microsoft's obsession with helping is something you are grateful for, and other times that you curse it. And this particular thing, I'm grateful for it. Okay, I'm very glad that it does the embedding for me. I made these, notice I converted them all to integer. When you're doing comparisons, it's the text that is typed in the box is not considered a number. When you type text in the box on a form, it is considered just text. It's not considered a number. It's just safer to convert it to a number when you're doing a comparison. Especially if you put in two numbers with different numbers of digits, a three-digit number compared to a one-digit number. It depends on how it compares. If it compares 100 to 5, well, if it's comparing 1 to 5, 1 is less than 5, so 100 is smaller. And if it's doing a text comparison, it compares the first numbers. You don't want that. You want to compare it number to number. And the safest way to make sure it's doing that is, say, convert it to a number so that we know that we're making a comparison based on numbers. Okay. Going back to the way access used to be, if you think about the way we looked at access, if you have a box and you put text in it and you call it text, then it goes in as 1, 2, 3 over there. If you put in a box and say no, it's a number, the 1, 2, 3 is over here. So it stores numbers differently than it stores text. And so, basically, when you're doing a comparison, you want to make sure you're on the same playing field. And if you're talking about numbers, if you convert it over to a number, then it will be that way. Because if you have a box with 100 in it, and another box with five in it, and you compare the one to the five, the one is less. And so if you're doing a text comparison, it says, okay, that's less. Okay? But if you have the numbers in like this, then it knows the unit's position is over here, and it's comparing the unit's position, and it works much nicer. Okay? So that's what I want to do, is kind of make sure that I'm doing a numeric comparison. And so that's why I converted to integer. So lots of times when you're working with numbers that come in off a text field, because if it's typed on the form, it's considered a text field, that it's safer to convert it to a number. Does that make any sense? It's the way it's being stored. More than one person should nod, either yes or no. Okay. Okay, so I want to go back to Visual Basic. Okay, and the last thing I did down here is this kind of a number will not be confused, because I defined a variable here and I told its type. So I don't have to convert that. It knows it's an integer. So it's the stuff that comes in off the text boxes that can get confused. If I define something and specifically say, this is an integer, or this is a decimal, it will do it correctly. So, here I have defined an integer. And a dim is what you use to define a variable. Okay, in JavaScript you use var to define a variable. In Visual Basic you use dim to define a variable. And I can say here dim, define it as an integer. If I want to give it a value, I could have written it like this. Dim work answer as integer equals zero. And then it would have given it an initial value of zero. Or if I wanted it to be 50, I could write equals 50, and it would give it a value of 50. So, in Visual Basic, when I define data, I give it a type, and I can give it a value. In JavaScript, when I define data, I don't give it a type. That JavaScript is loosely typed, so I don't give it a type. Visual Basic is much more specific about typing when I define something, and so I have to tell it what type it is. Is it an integer? Is it a string? Is it whatever I want it to be? And I can tell it that. So in Visual Basic, if I come in here and I say, hello, oh, I'm running. If I come in here and I say, dim work something as, and I can write as integer equals zero. Okay, so I can define something and give it, make it an integer and say it is equal to zero. Okay, now it has underlined that. And underlining means it has a problem. Well, part of the problem is I spelled it wrong. Dim. I wanted an M there. Dim. It's really hot, huh?
Yeah. Especially with the sun.
Okay. Oh, actually, it came out all right. Probably because I put the equal zero in there. If I didn't put the equal zero in, it underlines it. For some bizarre reason, later versions of Visual Basic have decided if I don't use that name down here, it's going to underline it to let me know I haven't used the name. I kind of find that annoying because, so what if I didn't use the name? It's not going to hurt anything. If I define a variable and I don't use it, it's not hurting anything. Okay, it's my time I've wasted. I've wasted a nanosecond of their time while they define it in memory, but it's no big deal. Okay? Notice also when I start defining this, if I say as, it has given me all of the different things I can put after the as. It can go on forever. So I can come down here and someplace is going to be the word decimal. I think, yes, there's decimal. So I want to define it as a decimal. I can come down here and say double. So I can define it as a double, which means a big decimal number. I can come down here and find the word text, so I can define it as a text field. So it lets me pick how I want to define it. So there I've said I want to define it as text. So it lets me go in here and pick what I want to define. Okay, the problem is it gives you some very complex things that we're not even going to come close to looking at. Basically, look for single words, because the single words are probably what you want. But it's giving you, 100 options, and a lot of them aren't what you need. If I want to comment something out, I put a single quote in front of it. It turns to green, and it's now commented out.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. So my little explanation down here was green, and it's commented out. Now, one other thing. We're getting into a concept here of local versus global. I'm going to take that out because I'm not using it. When I define something in a subroutine, it is considered local. Now, what does that mean? It means that the subroutine up above it doesn't know about that definition. It doesn't know that exists. Only the subroutine knows that it exists. Anything in the subroutine can use it. But if I came up here and talked about work answer, it would say, huh? I don't know what you're talking about. It's local. If you want to make something available to all the subroutines, you define it up here. So I'm going to say dim global answer. Only I don't usually call it global, but it is global. Dim global answer as integer. Okay? So putting it up there right below the public class and the name, which got put in automatically. Putting it there means that it's global. And global means all of the subroutines can use it. All of the subroutines can use it. Local means it's only available to that subroutine. Now, when you get a little more involved in Visual Basic than we're going to get, you will get into how you can pass it from one subroutine to another. But we're not going there. So for now, if you need a variable available throughout the program, define it up at the top. If you only need it for a calculation you're doing in this particular subroutine, you can define it in that subroutine. Okay? So I shouldn't say this, but the safe way is to define things as global, obviously, because then they're available everywhere. And I shouldn't say that because it's not considered great programming technique, but for a 2-week introduction, it's the way to go, maybe, in some cases. Okay. So now I came down here and I defined work answer as a variable. I tend to put, in some cases, and it depends on my mood, some kind of thing that tells me this is something I defined, and WK is kind of one of the things that I use sometimes, meaning I've set up a work area. So I sometimes do that to differentiate from things that come in off the form, which have a TXT in the front. I'm not differentiating for Visual Basic's sake. I'm differentiating for my sake. So I remember where I defined it. So a text box on the form starts out with TXT. When I come in and put it here, it starts out with WK. Okay? So, I've defined a variable. Then I came in and I said, okay, work answer is going to mean take the first text and subtract the second. And then I said, okay, if work answer is greater than zero, then write down greater than zero, otherwise write not greater than zero. I clearly was not feeling terribly creative. So, I'm going to come in here. And I am running this. So I'm going to put in here a 5 and a 7. Okay? And I'm going to click on use variable. And it's coming saying not greater than 0. Okay? Because when I said 5 minus 7, that gives me a negative 2, right? 5 minus 7 gives me a negative 2. And so it comes down here. Is work answer greater than 0? No, it's not. So I'm seeing not greater than 0. Okay? Questions? No questions? That means everybody's with me. Yeah, go ahead.
I have this error file when I'm trying to follow along. You're just saying something wrong with the build or something.
Mine won't even pop up. I have to click on inside the folder.
Yours is saying what?
I'm trying to find where you are. I'm just keep saying error when I go on to try to do something else. There were build errors and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, no, for some reason it doesn't like what you got, does it?
This is what mine's did when I tried to open it.
Huh?
That's what mine's did when I tried to open it. It didn't even load anything.
Okay, when you open things, you go and what you want to do is unzip them separately. And I don't know if you're doing the right thing, and I will try to look at yours when I give people a chance to do something. But I think it's going to be more than a quick look.
Yeah. Well, it tells you where it is. It says line 1.
That's okay. I want to actually keep talking, so right here is not a good place. So we can help them. I'm going to give them a chance to write something, and we can work on it then. But essentially, you're going to unzip it separately. And then once it's unzipped, you can either go in and click on the SLN, and it will then open Visual Basic. But what I actually usually do is go into Visual Basic and then go and find it. So if I'm trying to open something, which I'm going to do next, okay, I've got my stuff all unzipped simply because I wanted to save time. So I unzipped it at home. Okay, so I've got I'm going to do a file save if you want to save something. Otherwise, just file close solution. So I'm closing the solution. Okay, so now I'm going to come over here, and the next one is basic math, and I actually am not sure I really want to do that, but we're going to look at it and see, because I actually don't remember what it does. Okay, so I'm going to go in and say file open project. And then I am going to go to my computer where I've got the unzipped version stored, click on basic math, click on the SLM, okay? And then I click on it and it opens, okay? Now, if you don't already have Visual Basic open, then you can actually go into a directory and click on SLN and open it. But usually you're going to have Visual Basic open. You don't particularly want to open another version of it and have three or four versions open. So if you just go into the program and then click on the SLN, it will open it. Okay, but you unzip it separately. Once it's unzipped, you then go into Visual Basic and open it.
I just followed every step you did, and it says basic math unavailable.
Yeah, that's unavailable.
You unzipped it separately, and then went and opened it.
Yeah, I followed your steps.
Okay.
You did, and I got unavailable.
Unavailable usually means it didn't unzip correctly. You sure you went through the unzip process? Because it looks like it unzipped sometimes when it didn't.
I clicked on the thing and then it said basic math and I went to
Extract all.
Yeah, and then I clicked
and extract all and click on the extract all that you unzip it.
And Video Studio came up and...
Wait a minute. Not yet Visual Studio coming up. Okay, if you want to, let me go back. If I'm sitting over here, okay, and I go in and I find my examples, which are under programs, so I come down here and someplace there on the top, okay. So I want basic math, okay, so I click on that, and I say save link as.
Okay.
So I'm saying save link as, and I'm going to put it on the T drive. Okay, so I'm saying save link as, basic math, zip. So I've now saved it, and then I can go in and extract. So if I go in to the T drive, and find the zipped version of basic math here someplace. Okay, zipped version of basic math. I've got too damn much stuff out here. Basic math dot zip. Right-click on it and extract all.
Yep.
And then it gives you a browse to tell you where you want to put it. If it doesn't give you the browse, it's going to put it in the download, I think. But it gave you a browse, tells you where to put it, you extract it, and now I have basic math. Okay, and it's going through the unzip process. So it's now unzipped. Okay, so I can come in here and click on the SLN, and if I click on the SNN, it will usually open it. It will open it in a separate version. But I'm going to close this solution, and I'm going to go over there and say File, Open Project, and I am going to go to the T drive, and I'm going to find Basic Math. And I'm going to click on the SLN, and it came up.
I got it.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, is everybody okay now? Okay, so I've got basic math here. And that is very similar to what I have. The one difference that I have is I have the me close, so I have a close button. So if I want to close the form, I can put in me close with two parentheses, and that will close the form. And the other thing I did is I put up at the top Val. Val is the old way of doing this. still works, but instead of C integer, we used to use val, which means make it a numeric value. And that will still work. So if you see examples where I've got val, then that's fine. It still works. Okay, so I only have three different things in there. Okay, so the next one that I want to look at is, I think, going in sequence, the while. Let's check. Loops while. Okay, so I'm going to look at loops while. So again, I've already unzipped them, so I'm going into File, Open Project, and I'm going to my flash drive, and I'm going in, and I have loops while here. So I'm just clicking on it and opening the SLN. Okay, remember the main things if you are going to have a programming language. And you want to call it a language, it has to be able to handle sequence, meaning do one instruction and then drop down and do the next instruction and then drop down and do the next instruction. It's going to have to handle decisions, which are basically done with an if statement. And it's going to have to handle loops. It's going to have to be able to do repetition, do things over and over and over again. So if you are claiming you have a programming language, you got to have those three things. And again, HTML cannot claim to be a programming language because it doesn't let you do that. The word says if you can't read it. It's not a programming language. But when you add JavaScript HTML, you get the ability to have if statements and the ability to loop, so it becomes a programming language. Visual Basic is one of the programming languages up front. If you look at lists of what programming languages people use, Visual Basic is always in the top 10 of the languages that are being used out there. Okay? C++, PHP, all those are in the top 10. So, I've now got these. And so now this next program, we've looked at how you can put in an if statement. We're now going to look at how you can put in a loop. Okay, so I've got a loop going on here. Okay. And there turns out to be there's more than three ways to do a loop, but I did three different ways here. Okay, so I've got three different approaches to doing a loop. So if I say do while word count is less than, okay, so I've got my condition up there. So on that top one, I've got a do while, and my condition is right there. On the next one, I've got a do loop until, and my condition is at the bottom. So we've talked about that in pseudocode and everything, that if the condition is at the top, then you may never do it. Okay? You may never do this. You might not ever do it. Because the condition might be such that you just never do it. With the do until, you always do it once. Because you don't check until the bottom. Do once. That's not exactly how you spell once. You always do once.
Which one is the one that you might not ever do?
The top one with the while.
Oh, while.
always do it once because you check at the bottom. Because I'm not spelling too well today. I was up late last night, commission taxes. Because you check at the bottom. And if you check at the bottom, you know that you're going to go through it once before you even check. You're going to go through it once before you even check. Okay? So, up here, I've defined two things. I've defined work count, dim work count, as one. And I've defined dim work total as zero. Work count is an integer, work total is a double decimal. Okay, so it's a double decimal. So, I'm going to run this. And first we're going to focus on the do while. Okay, so I'm going to run this. And I'm going to, first thing that comes up is I have to, the form comes up and it asks me to enter something. Okay, so how many times do I want to do this? We'll say 3. What is the amount that I want to add each time? We'll say 100. Okay, so now I'm going to click on process. And process is going to do this routine up here. Notice I called it button process. So I kind of know which routine it's going to do. So it's going to do that particular routine. So if I click on process, the answer is coming back as 300. Okay, so what do we do here? We started out and we said do while work count is less than or equal to how many? And I put in 3 is how many. So it is checking to see is work count less than or equal to 3. Okay? So what I've got here is I've got work count, which I started out at 1. And I have a text box on the form, which was called text how many. And I entered a 3 in that text box. So that's what I've got at the beginning. And if you go back and look at the form, you'll see that that text box is called text how many. So I'm now saying, okay, is word count less than or equal to, and I converted text how many to an integer. Because as I said, when you're working with numbers, it's always safest to do that. So, is 1 less than 3?
Yes.
Yes, it is. So I go in, and I said, okay, we also have a work total. And I said, okay, now take what is in amount to add. This box here is called text amount. That box is called text amount. Take text amount and add it to work total. So I put 100 in here. Then the next line says add 1 to work count. And then I go back to the top. Do while work count is less than text how many. 2 is less than text how many, right? Less than or equal to, actually. 2 is less than text how many. So I add another 100. This now becomes 200. I drop down and I add 1. This becomes 3. Okay? So then I go back up. I loop back up again. And it says, okay, is word count, which is a 3, less than or equal to text how many? Well, it's equal. So that means I go into the loop. So I add 100, and I'm now at 300. I add 1, I'm now at 4. And I go back. is word count less than or equal to text how many? No, because word count is now a 4. So that means I drop out of the loop. I never go into it. I drop out of the loop. And the next thing it says is, this box is called text result. It says, take and put word total into text result. So there it is. It's in text result. Okay. So, I have gone through and I have done the loop. Okay. So now I'm going to go out and say, okay, let's try putting a different number in. Okay. So I got to get rid of the closing layer. And I'm going to close it and open it again. Okay. So now if I put 0 times here, and I put 100, and I say process, I don't have anything to put in, and I don't even enter the loop. Because 0, okay, word count is not less than or equal to 0, right? I put a 0 there. Word count is not less than or equal to 0. So that means I never go into the loop. I just drop out and I take word total, which I defined as 0, and put it out in the text result. So I see a 0 in text result. Okay? So that's what I meant by it may be that you never go in. Okay?
So if it's a 0, you don't go in?
You're not going, because of what I wrote. You know, it depends on what my condition is, but my condition is word count less than or equal to what you enter. Well, word count, I made a 1, and I made text how many, I made a 0. So when I do the comparison, 1 is not less than, is not, word count, 1 is 1 less than or equal to 0. Okay, 1 is not less than 0. 1 is not equal to 0. So I don't go in, and I just drop right out of the loop. I never go into it. And I then move word total to word result, to text result.txt. So I move a 0 over there. Okay? Now, what about if I come to the next one? Okay. And I'm going to stop this and start up again. And then I will point out a problem in a minute. But I've got a 3 here and 100, so I'm going to do the same thing. But this time I'm going to click the until, and I've got 300. Okay? So the until, which is the second one down here, I started out and I've got word count, and I've got word total, and I've got the how many. Okay, so I've got the how many. And that's a text box. Okay. So text how many is a 3, because that's what I put into it, right? Word count is a 1. Word total is a 0. So I go into the do loop and I don't ask any questions. I just say add to word total. So I add here. I add here. And then I check. At this point I check. Is word count greater than text how many? Okay, now Notice the difference in what I'm checking here. Up above, the while talks about staying in. Do this while this is true. Stay in while this is true. Until talks about getting out. Do it until this is true. When this is true, stop. So until is how to get out. So I'm saying loop until work count is greater than 3. In other words, when it becomes greater than 3, get out. So, is work count greater than 3? No, it's not. Okay? So I loop back up. I add 1, so I'm now at 200. I add 1 to work count, I'm now at 3. And I hit the test. Is work count greater than how many? No, it's not. They're equal, but they're not. It's not greater. So I go back up to the do, and I do the loop again. I add 100 and get this to 300. I add 1 and get work count to 4. And then I hit the test. Loop until work count is greater than. It's now greater than. So I'm out. And at that point, I take and move work total up here to result. Okay? So I'm out. Now, what will happen if I do the same thing that I did the last time and I put a 0 in here? What is going to be the result? If I press the until button, what is result going to be? Why isn't it going to be 0? Because I hit the do, and I say add 1, add amount to work total. So it's now 100. Then I say add 1 to work count. Now it's 1. Then I say, do this until work count is greater than, and now I find out it's greater than. But I have already added the 100 to work total. And I've already added a 1 to work count before I even test how many. So I haven't even tested it before I add those. Then I come down and I say, okay, is work count greater than work how many? Yeah, it is. So I'm out of here. But when I go and move work total, I'm moving 100. So I'm going to move over 100 because I've already gone in and added it. Again, what we talked about here is that the do loop doesn't ask the question until I've done it once. Closing clear. What did I just do? I hit the while. Okay? I should have hit the until and then I got the 100. Okay, I hit the while, and the while gave me the 0, as we know. The until gives me the 100. So, I've got the 100 now. Now, let me show you something else. Okay, so I'm now going to put in here what I did before, which is 3 and 100, and I'm going to do the processing, and I'm coming up with 300. And now I am going to click the until, and I'm now at 400. How did that happen?
You took the count of 100 and added it onto the next one?
Yeah. But the reason is, then I define work total up here as global. So when I left the while, I had work total equal to 300. And since it was global, that means it was available to all of the subroutines. When I came down here and said, okay, add 100 to work total, it became 400. I didn't check anything, I just did it. So it became 400. Then I got down and I checked and work count was greater because work count had kept growing too. And so I ended up moving the 400 over here because I didn't reset. Okay? So how could I avoid doing that? I could not define it as global, but I kind of wanted to. But the other way that I could have avoided that is before I went into the do loop, I could have had a line up here that said, make work total equal to zero, make work count equal to one. So that I basically said, okay, if you've already done something, reset. Reset here. Okay? Now, the other thing I could have done is taken and moved these dim statements into both of them, as opposed to having them global, have a set that was private here, have a set that was private there. And that would do it as well. Instead of making them global, take these and say, okay, I'm going to make them local. Okay, so I could have done either of two. So I actually should just take this out, and then I can come down. Notice what happened when I took them out of global? When I took those out of global, this one's happy because I defined them locally. This one's yelling at me because it doesn't know what work total and work count are. Because work total and work count were only defined for that particular procedure. Okay, so it's yelling at me. If I come down here and put those dim statements in, okay, I guess I lost them someplace. Now, notice it's not yelling anymore. Okay, because I've defined them locally for use here. I've defined them locally for use here. Notice this one is yelling again. Because I didn't define them. So I have to define them locally here as well. And it really doesn't want to apparently remember that I did a copy. Okay, so now I've defined it and it's just fine. Okay. Now with the for loop, everything is taken care of. I said for work count equals 1 up to text how many. Step 1 means add 1 every time. Okay? So if I do that one.
Step 1 is.
Step 1 means add 1. Okay? So in the for loop, I set work count up as 1. I said do it up until text how many, up until and including text how many, and every time you go through, add 1. Step 1 means add 1. Okay?
You add 1 to the...
To count. Because I said for work count, so it knows I should be adding to work count. So if I put in the 3 and the 100... and I hit the for loop, I get the 300 just like I did with the others. Because it starts work count out at 1. Okay, so work count is starting at 1. Text how many is starting at 3, because that's what I ended up here, and here's work total. So I go in and I say 4 work count equal 1, and so it says okay, goes into the loop, and makes this 100. Then next means go back again. Work count is now up to a 2, because step 1 says add 1 to it. It's now up to a 2. And then I say, okay, go inside and add, and it's now 200. So it then goes back up, and it makes work count of 3. It goes in, and 300. Goes back up. Step 1 makes it a 4. It says I'm out of here because I'm only doing it up till text how many. So if work count is a 4, I'm out of here, and it leaves. So any of those 3 loops will accomplish the job that I wanted to accomplish. Questions? Okay, what I'm going to do is give you the last 15 minutes to start the assignment because I want to make sure everybody's okay. And the assignment actually doesn't have any loops in it. So, what we're going to do is go back and your assignment for this is to redo the assignment you did in JavaScript. But now do it in Visual Basic so you can see the difference. Okay? So, the difference is when I was taking in information in JavaScript, I was using prompts most of the time. When I take in information in Visual Basic, I usually put things up on the web. I mean, up on the form. Up on the form. There is a way, however, to take things in if you really want to do a prompt. I could set up here a work in. And I can come down here and say work in equals input box enter a number, whatever it is. Okay, and I can put a comma 0 there if I want to. Okay, what did I do wrong? Would you like to continue and run the last? No. I guess I can't. Work in. I didn't define work in. So dim work in as an integer. Okay. So I needed to define work in. So now if I go and do it, okay. So when I put in my 3 and my 100 and I'm doing nothing with work in, when I click on process, that comes up. And I probably shouldn't have bothered to put the 0 there. I should have put just something else. I was thinking JavaScript when I put the 0 there. So it now has come up and I can enter something in. So you know how you can do a prompt in JavaScript to take something in? This is comparable to a prompt in JavaScript. Okay, because it takes something
so
in.
So it's work in?
Huh?
Work in is the one that we want.
Input box. It's called input box. And I just defined the area to put it as work in. Okay, what did I just do? I clicked out. Okay, so if I want to do this a little bit better, my input, I'll call it. That's what I should have done. I was thinking JavaScript. Hello, thank you. Okay, and I am not doing anything with that number that I brought in. I was just showing you how to do it. But now notice where my input, I said enter a number, and the next thing is comma. I can put whatever label I want up there. So I put the label up in there. So I can now take work in, and I can use work in. So if I wanted to, I could have up at the top, instead of taking in count from a box, I could have put up a input box and said, tell me what you want count to be that way. Okay? As opposed to having a box to put word count in, I could have done that. Or actually, I didn't have a box for word count. I had a box for how many times. So this allows me to take in input. Okay, so if you are definite about the fact that you would like to take in input, then that's how you can do it. You can put up an input box, and it works like a prompt does. So I've now stored it with work input. Okay? If I then want to show you what's in work input, I can go back into the program and I can say message box show work in. Okay, so now if I do this, it's incredibly slow today. If I do this and I put in my numbers that I've been putting in that have no relevance whatsoever, and I click process, it says enter a number, and I'm going to put 7 in. And then I say okay, and a message box shows me that in fact it has a 7 in it.
So you don't even need that top box when you're doing the...
You don't have to. I would prefer, most Visual Basic people will do things by putting things into boxes, but... You know, so I don't want you to accept
the top one.
Right, if I wanted to call that word count. I mean, these two, actually, I put these in here. They have no relevance to what I'm doing. I was just trying to show you how you can do that. So if you compare these to JavaScript, this is like the prompt. This one is like the alert. Right? So you have basically something that is like a prompt, and you have something that is like the alert in JavaScript, okay? But in fact, most people will not use these heavily. They will tend to have everything on the form, because that's kind of what Visual Basic offers is, if you put it on the form, it's visible to the people. What's happening and everything, so they tend to use those. So what I'm saying here is, you're welcome to use the input box, you're welcome to use the message box, but I don't want you exclusively doing it that way. I want you doing more things the way I did them. Okay? Now, the nice thing about the message box and the input box is it stops processing while you're entering it in. So if you're inside a loop and you're doing something and you want to stop processing, you can use an input box or a message box to stop processing. And we'll talk more about that as we go along. Okay, so your assignment is to do, as I said, the things that you did in JavaScript. So you're supposed to take in the information and go ahead and do it. So we've probably got about 10 minutes left at this point. Six. You can decide to start something, or you can say to heck with it and go. Your choice.